107.3 WAAF. Once in a while, we get a weekend pass and get a chance to get out of the studio. And a couple of months back, we had the one and only Joe Perry in the studio, who world premiered a couple of tracks from his forthcoming solo CD, which is now complete.
It is done.
And he's invited us into Boneyard Studios to sort of give us a preview of the record before it comes out on May 3rd in your local CD store of choice, which happens to be Newbury Comics.
Yeah.
Well, let's first, what do you start with a guy who's won Grammy Awards, been nominated for an Academy Award for a song in a movie, 23 Boston Music Awards. He's got guitars named after him. He invented the torque wrench. I mean, where do you start with a guy like that? And now it's 2005 and time for another Joe Perry solo record. Why?
Well, there were a lot of things. I had a bunch of material that was kind of accumulating. And it's funny because somebody asked me, what do the other guys think about this stuff if they heard it? And they've heard almost every one of these songs in one form or another over the years, because they were all kind of, a lot of them were kind of written alongside the stuff for Aerosmith records. So, you know, I played some of the songs for the guys, and some of them ended up being on Aerosmith records. So some of the riffs and licks and things like that, and the ones that didn't ended up in my stockpile of I'll get back to them later. And I had this this revelation a few years ago, and I said, well, you know, when my Harley Davidson hits the tree, my wife Billy's going to have nothing to put out but a bunch of guitar riffs, you know, when it comes, here's the basement tapes, you know, and to put out my post-mortem collection of music. I figured I'd better, you know, finish up some of these things and at least try singing on them and make them songs, because they're really not songs till they got a melody on them and got some lyrics. And, you know, I don't think anybody's that interested in hearing a bunch of guitar riffs just, you know, going over drum tracks. So I started assembling some of this stuff and making these CDs, and as it turned out, I'd start playing some of the stuff for people, and they go, wow, you got enough for a solo record, you ever going to do another solo record? So I said, yeah, someday. Well, someday happened in August, after we got off the road with Aerosmith and we had a year off, and I figured it would be a good time to kind of assemble the stuff and put it out. And so that's why. And I figured it was the only way to do it, to just kind of play everything myself and just have it be a real kind of homemade musical diary kind of thing, and just have fun, a little tongue-in-cheek with some of the stuff. And anyway, that's what it is.
If you're a fan of slide guitar, you want to get the new Joe Perry solo record on May 3rd, because it is all about slide guitar on this record.
Well, there's a lot of that on there. It's part of my guitar vocabulary, you know. I mean, there's a lot of different sounds I like. It's amazing how many different ways you can change the atmosphere with different guitar sounds, and that's why it sounds kind of like, you know, okay, well, I played guitar, well, that's pretty obvious, but when you start doing the slide thing and you know, using some special effects and things like that, and foot pedals, there's so many different ways you can change the atmosphere around. This gave me a chance to open that up without anybody having to, you know, no editing going on. And I got to, it's a lot of fun working with the band. I mean, it's like, you know, you got four other guys to lean on, and you can, you know, get some feedback from them, you know, support, and you go, well, this works, that doesn't work, do you like this, you don't like that. So in some ways, it's kind of like going out in thin ice, you know, laying this stuff down and really just looking over at Paul, or, you know, just kind of taking it upstairs and listening to it and playing it for whoever's around. But it's a little scary like that, you know. But then I remember, listen, I've done this before. I have recorded before. I've got guitar solos that are out there. People like them, I guess. And so it's worth trying it. And I don't know. I'm anxious to see what people think of it, because it's, again, it's kind of like, this is the first time I've done something like this in almost 20 years.
Is it scary to have an entire album with featuring Joe Perry as the lead vocalist? I mean, you've done a song here and there, but
yeah, well,
I mean,
yeah,
an entire album of Joe Perry, the lead singer.
Yeah.
How's that feel? Is that a little nerve-wracking?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's probably the toughest part, is, you know, looking around and going, trying to read people, because, you know, it's kind of hard to get people to tell me the truth in the same room, you know what I mean, and kind of watch them and see, check their body language out.
Jeez, Joe, that sucked.
Yeah, really, you know, so, you know, especially when I was playing some of the stuff in the demo form, which was, a lot of the vocals were done, like, right off the cuff, just kind of, you know, turn the mic on, Paul, and I'm going to, like, start writing some lyrics while I sing them. And And then, you know, when I played some of the demo stuff, the vocals were really rough, and I hadn't really gone in and sung them as if someone, you know, going to put it on a real record and done it the way that most singers do, which is go in and you do like four or five takes of it, and then you kind of comp a vocal and take the best and pick it out, because it's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more scrutiny when it's recorded as opposed to like a live show. So, you know, I think that it was really me getting used to hearing my vocal in that kind of lower range. And like on Back Train on the Honkin' on Bobo record, it was kind of down in that lower register, and I kind of that gave me some confidence to come along and sing some of this other stuff.
You got sort of a Dave Edmunds, Lou Reed sort of a talk vocal style going on most of the record. Not really a singer per se, as sort right. of emoting. You know, we talk about Joe Perry's guitar playing. You say, well, Joe's not really a technician, and I think that's a euphemism for doesn't mind if he plays the wrong note once or twice here. As a singer, you're not really an opera singer guy either. You're just sort of a dirty, bluesy, groovy record. Is that an intentional thing, or did you overanalyze it?
I'm just doing the best I can, that's all. You know what I mean? I just get down there and stuff comes out, and whatever comes out that I think is worth taking the chance that somebody that doesn't know me might want to hear, then that's what goes on the record. You know, I just down here doing the best thing I can. You know, I mean, one of the things that we did kind of plan and design was talking. Obviously, when you listen to that, it sounds like there's a party going on. It sounds like there's a bunch of people in the room, a bunch of people playing and kind of jamming. And I wanted to get that same vibe as that Voodoo Child track, the live in the studio thing that on the Electric Ladyland record, and where it sounds like everybody's just kind of sitting around and they're playing with some, you know, get some amps going and they're jamming, and I wanted to get that same kind of atmosphere. And it's kind of tough to do when there's only one guy making noise at the time and the other guy's in there running the board. So we kind of massaged everything, and Paul actually hit record and then ran in and sat down on the drums, and we talked with each other and then just kind of played the song. And we did that a few times and multi-layered it, so it sounds like there's a party going on. So that was kind of that was a lot of fun, and that's part of the tongue-in-cheek thing that I was talking about.
You mentioned a cut like a second ago. For those people that don't know me, do you run into a lot of people that don't know you, Joe? Seriously,
well,
these days?
I have to say that I was in a store the other day, and somebody, one of the shopkeepers ran up to my wife and said, "Is he the lead singer from AC/DC? Because my girlfriend's a really big fan, and she'd really like to get his autograph." So, yeah.
So did you say, "Yes, I'm the lead singer for AC/DC?
No, I didn't. You could have got out of that, you know.
You could have totally gotten a whole bunch of it. But the bio that the record company gives for those people that have never heard of Joe Perry says that most of the record, you refer to him as love song.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole record is just a record that you're dedicating to Billy?
Yeah, pretty much. It's, you know, I mean, it's what makes the world go around. It makes my world go around. And she's my muse. And it's a fantastic beast, this love thing. And it's almost hard to talk about because it's all in the lyrics, and it's just, I mean, what else do you write about? You know what I mean? There's a couple other things in there, a couple other subjects you can get into, but they're all basic human emotions and just trying to spew it out. No pun intended. It's pretty much it. You know, I mean, she's my muse, and you know, I'm thinking about what we have, and that's what the record is.
What made you decide to do Woody Guthrie's Vigilante Man?
Well, one of the things, like you were saying, how do you, you know, get inspired? I think that one of the tools that I've always used, I got some good advice from Rick Rubin, the record producer. You know, we talk about inspiration, and he said, "Listen, you know, when you hit that wall, go down and make a cassette." This was a long time ago, obviously. He said, "Make a cassette of all your favorite tunes that got you off when you were first loved rock and roll. All the songs that got you going, and just listen to it over and over again. And after a while, it'll put you back in touch with what you got into this for." Because, I mean, after a while, you know, that big E chord starts to sound awful monotonous. So it's a really good tool. And the other thing, again, Billy said, you know, why don't you just go downstairs and cover some tunes. Cover some of your favorite blues tunes. Cover some rock and roll tunes. Just give, you know, if you're not coming up with anything new, just go back and just get down there and get the energy going. And Vigilante Man has always been one of my favorite, you know, back pocket tunes. I love to listen to that. I love the Woody Guthrie version. I love the Ry Cooder version, speaking of slide guitar. And so we came down and I just had the lyrics in front of me and a slide guitar, and we kind of laid that down, and it ended up sounding like it does. And the same with Crystal Ship. I'm driving along in the car listening to the Doors record and singing along with it, going, this is in my range. It might be fun to fool around with this. And I bought had the one advertiser, and I go through that, and I'm looking for used instruments, and I found this old synthesizer, and I got from somebody for $200. And
how strange is that? You know, you call somebody, and they go, "Hi, I'm looking to buy your synthesizer out of the one ad. Who's this? It's Joe Perry." "No, really, who is this?"
It works that way. And it has some really cool sounds on it, and I'm going, "Wow, we've got to get this on the record somehow." So, as very often happens, you get a new instrument or a new guitar or something, and it's got a cool sound to it, so you want to have an excuse to play it. And the way to do that is to write a song around it. So we got this kind of cool East Indian vibe with the synthesizer, and so we're playing that, and out comes Pray For Me. And so it was built around that particular sound. And
the new solo album is just simply titled Joe Perry. It'll be out on May 3rd, and you did a whole bunch of stuff with this thing. Obviously, there's some riffs on here that could have come off of any of the classic Aerosmith records.
Yeah.
And there's also some weird stuff, like you just mentioned, Pray For Me. Your voice is, at the risk of sounding gay, romantic. You got sort of a romantic thing going there. As unrestrained as your slide guitar playing and stuff is, you're pretty smooth. You got the Joe Cool thing happening.
That's interesting that you made that observation. I mean, that's kind of why, I went down that road a little bit. You know, I kind of listened to, like you said, like the Lou Reed. In fact, one of the songs I covered was Waiting For My Man a while ago, and of course I didn't think it was that good. It was fun doing it, you know.
Yeah.
I started listening more to the Johnny Cashes and the Morrison and those kind of guys that had that more baritone kind of thing, and again, it's a style, you know, as opposed to, you know, so-called singer, you know. In fact, Johnny Cash, I was watching the that commercial where he's singing I've Been Everywhere Man.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, that would be a cool thing to do. I haven't got a song like that. So then I wrote the lyrics to Lonely after I heard that, and because it kind of like calls in all the places I've been in the last year, you know, every place from Seattle to Cambridge. So
Joe is not stupid, and neither is your record company, because
yeah.
They know in order to get people from bootlegging or downloading illegally, they got to give them a little bit something extra.
Yeah.
So when the new Priest album came out, they did sort of a dual disc thing, and this is a thing that's starting to happen a lot,
right,
where one side of the CD that you're used to buying, and then you flip the CD over, not unlike the old vinyl, and there's extra stuff on there. There's a whole bunch of bonus stuff, some video,
yeah,
and some interactive stuff. Tell us about that.
Well, there's about 22 minutes of video. It's some interview stuff. It's like what you would call in the business an EPK, which is an electronic press kit, which is video that they give out. It's like that. I kind of talk about the making of the record. There's also footage of me actually playing down here, playing some of the tracks on the record, and also some footage of us on the road. There's home movies that when we're out, we, you know, videotape going to the aquarium or going to guitar stores, all that stuff. So it's just some fun video on there, show you what we're doing out on the days off, and then. More important, there's a 5-1 mix that you can play on your DVD player on your surround sound, and we did alternate mixes. There's actually, because you got more speakers, you can put more guitars in, which is great, because then you can have the guitars come out of the front and the back. And so some of the tracks have guitar tracks that were left off the stereo mix, and there are also alternate arrangements on some of the songs. So it's kind of fun. You'll put that on, and especially for the medium tempo songs, it's really kind of cool. It really works. I mean, I've heard all that, you know, quad stereo or whatever they had back in the 70s or whatever, and then there was Q sound and all these different things to try and top what stereo is. And I don't think that, as far as straight rock, I don't think you can beat stereo. But again, some of these songs that are mid-tempo really sound cool, because you can spread the vocals out, and actually you can hear the tone of the guitars even better when you play it on a regular run-of-the-mill surround sound system. That's on there. And there's also this thing called UMixit, where if you put it on your PC, you get an 8-track mixing thing, and you can make your own mix of a couple of songs. Which
is
kind of cool.
People that use like Acid and stuff like that at
right.
home, it's a program like that.
Exactly. And you can take, we have Push Comes to Shove and the instrumental Mercy, and you can literally take the song apart and do a dance mix of it with just the drums and the vocal, or you can, you know, drop the guitar out and play along to it and record your guitar onto it.
Over Joe Perry's guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you want.
Because those aren't good.
Well, or you can, your own take on it, you know? It's
right.
It's but it, you know, everybody, anybody that wants to sit around and do that, you know, it's another cool thing you can do with the record.
And we now know that Aerosmith, instead of taking all the time off that you said you were going to take, you guys don't know how to stop.
God,
what are you doing when you're on the road?
This has been, I'll tell you, putting this out has been, it's great to sit down, you know, you're laying in bed and you're going, oh, good, all these songs, I'm finally going to get them out, and it'll get off my back, and I won't have to, like, burden the band with them when we start working on the next Aerosmith record, and me going, well, I would like to put this on there instead of waiting, you know, which song are they going to like, and all that stuff. Now it's out there. I can just focus on Aerosmith music and you know, and that kind of thing. And
you guys are going out at the end of the year, though, right?
Yeah, we're going to go out in October. And originally, I was thinking I would put a band together and go out and do a short tour, but the short tour ended up looking like 2 months. And
are we going to be able to see this? We're going to be able to see
a Joe Perry
band?
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. It's going to be too much because again,
you could open for yourself.
We're just. We're just starting to do a live record. You know, we're going to do a live record that's going to be released sometime in the fall, and hopefully it's going to be a whole show. I mean, we're trying to find a show that's been recorded from beginning to end, so it's a real footage.
Are you telling me that live albums are not necessarily really live albums?
No. I mean, cut up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Songs from one. You know, taking the best from each. I'm not doing the political thing and trying to change the subject here because I do know that some people have been known to massage live tracks. But what I am talking about is trying to get a whole concert and mixing that warts and all. So you really get to see the whole concert. So that's what we're trying to do now is put that together. And so I'm getting all this, getting tapes and all that kind of thing. And I'm going, God, it's 3 months before, 4 months, I'm going to be back on the road with Aerosmith, so I kind of passed on doing the band thing and, you know, the solo tour thing. And what we're going to do is we might do a couple of live shows and with a couple of friends of mine, obviously Paul playing drums and a couple other guys, and do a few songs at a few little high profile venues, and but that'll be it.
So there'll be a limited Joe Perry opportunity to see some of the stuff off the new solo album.
Yeah.
Which, just to satisfy the record dorks again, will be... I kid because they're in the next room listening. May 3rd, you're actually putting out your fourth solo record, but it's the first real Joe Perry record because the other stuff has been Joe Perry project stuff.
Yeah. Well,
this is your first real solo effort where you've done everything start to finish, and you're going to be hanging out at Newbury Comics.
Yep, we're going to do an in-store at Newbury Comics, and we'll visit our friends there and the day of the release.
And why are you going to Newbury Comics?
Well, because they got one of the coolest record stores around, and also because they we go back a few years now. They've been selling my hot sauce, and
there you go.
And they were the first you know, first chain to pick up on it. So, you know,
how's that doing?
It's doing really well. We're moving a lot, and we're going to make that jump, I think, pretty soon from being kind of a boutique kind of thing to getting into some major chains. So it's going good. We're having fun.
So let me go down the list again. Grammy Award winner, author, television star, because you've done some TV stuff. Which, by the way,
I just sat in and did one show. I can't. It looks good on my resume, but I just did one show.
So does LB at the radio station, but we call him a TV star too.
They were going to ask me back, but the show got canceled. So I don't know. If they, you know.
We blame you. And of course, you guys are in Be Cool, the follow up to Get Shorty.
Yeah.
So now you got movie star credibility, entrepreneur.
All I did was be myself. They just stuck the camera in front of me at the show. I mean, there was nothing else. There was no acting involved in that.
What if there is anything? What's left for Joe Perry to do? I mean, you've pretty much done it all.
I've got to put this thing together. I mean, it's kind of daunting when you think we are going to play a couple of TV shows. So, you know, again, I'm talking about playing with a couple of friends and Paul, and we're going to, you know, but I haven't heard that band yet. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge, you know, putting it together. We've already booked the show. I think at this point, we're going to be on Conan and playing live, and we have yet to play the first note in rehearsal. So, but I have a lot of confidence in the guys I'm playing with, so I think it's going to be good.
Can you tell us who they are yet?
Not yet. We're very close. I'll let you know as soon as I know. But it's going to be something that'll be it'll be a lot of fun. So that's a challenge. I take it day by day. As far as anything past that, I'm just glad to be alive and the sun's out, you know?
I think it's awesome that Joe Perry is putting out another solo record because the world could use a little bit more slide guitar and good guitar.
Thanks.
As opposed to some of the soulless, ballless, corporate, homogenized crap. Well, that seems to get released every week.
Every once in a while, I get a chance to listen to what's going on, and I do hear some good music, and I hear a lot of crappy music, and you know, sometimes it seems like rock and roll is an anachronism, and with if you just look at the charts. But man, there's people that love to rock and still love to rock, and there's still kids out there making great rock music, you know, with a couple guitars and some drums, and it's alive and well. It just comes and goes out of the mainstream, you know, but it's there, man. People love it, and it's the business is all upside down, but it's always it's always changing, you know. That's why it's this record. I think it's. It's just a good rock record. It's I had a lot of fun making it, and I have a lot of fun listening back to it, and it's take it or leave it, you know?
Joe Perry's solo album, May 3rd, Newbury Comics. Which one? Do you know which one you're going to go to?
I'm not sure. I think it's the one downtown.
Well, we here at WAF are congratulate you on a new record, and thank you for letting us come down to Boneyard. This place is awesome.
I love having people here. There's a lot of music was written here. This very room was actually, this was the where the studio was. The board was over here off to my right. We're sitting in a room now that's about 10 feet by 15 feet, and the ceiling's about 6 feet high, and we wrote Living on the Edge in here, and a lot of lyrics were written in here, and a lot of the start of a lot of songs. I mean, obviously, we recorded some of that stuff in other studios, but me and Steven and Mark Hudson and Marty Fredrickson and the other guys, you know, Joey and Brad and Tom, I mean, we've all spent time down here, a lot of time, making a lot of music, and all of Just Push Play was recorded here, and I mean, obviously we did, you know, some drum tracks out at Longview, some things like that, but the nucleus was here, so I'm really proud to have people down here and see where that it really is in the basement. Like I was saying, my son would, when he couldn't use the studio, he'd have his band actually in the garage right across the hall. So when we were doing Honkin' on Bobo, they'd be rehearsing over there, playing Rage Against the Machine and some of their originals. And you'd come in this room and you'd hear us doing, you know, Baby Please Don't Go. It was a riot. The top of the house was kind of like shaking, you know. It's great. You can't get away from it. I mean, the music just echoes all through the house.
Or what else are you going to do? Seriously, yeah. Joe. Oh, that's what you do.
Work on cars out here.
Yeah, you got some nice cars, man. I'm not going to say what they are because I'm hoping I can steal one someday.
Well,
and it's got to be here in the driveway for me to get it. Thanks for taking time out for us here at WAAF. A very cool Joe Perry solo album. The dual disc is going to be available at your local Newbury Comics on May 3rd. Keep it locked on AAF so we can tell you exactly which Newbury Comics Joe Perry will be at. And thank you so much for taking time out and letting us hang out down here.
And I'll let you know as soon as I know who's going to be playing with us.
Absolutely. And you're welcome to come up to WAAF and hang out and take over the radio station anytime you want.
Thanks a lot.